You're listening to live coverage of New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan's State of the State Address on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Laura Kanoy, along with political analyst Dean Spiliotis of SNHU, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, quick thoughts from you. What jumps out at you from that speech?
Well, I expected a valedictory. This really is the end of her run as governor. She's getting ready for that Senate race. And with a lot of recapping about what she's accomplished over the last almost 4 years now, throughout her tenure, she's talked a lot about workforce innovation and talked a lot about bipartisanship. And I saw both of those words and phrases pop up throughout the speech. You really want to show that you're leaving the state in better shape than when you came in. And I think she set that out very clearly from her point of view in the speech.
Yeah, remind us of the political context of this speech. A lot of people were talking about it beforehand.
Sure. She's going to be, we assume, now pivoting to her run for the U.S. Senate against Kelly Ayotte. We saw a brief mention in there of terrorism and ISIS, which maybe will set up some of the discussion of foreign policy, which she'll need to be able to talk about as a Senate candidate. And she spent a lot of time on the key issues we've been talking about lately: Medicaid expansion, the opioid crisis. That have been two big issues for her throughout her time in office. The opioid crisis is a particular focus now. And then she spent a lot of time talking about education and workforce programs. She talked about that new Gateway to Work program, all geared at giving people the training and access to resources that they need in order to be competitive economically.
Well, and a couple more questions for you, Dean, but I do want to go to the State House now. NHPR Sam Evans-Brown is standing by. Sam, what seemed to get a strong reaction from the lawmakers gathered there? Just you were watching it, so what did you think?
Well, it really depends, Laura, on which party you're referring to. I mean, she started with very safe issues, talking, of course, about the bipartisan budget and spending an enormous amount of her speech talking about the opioid crisis. But also, you know, then she moved on to topics that had a lot of Democrats standing and applauding, for instance, talking about fully funding adequacy in the coming year and trying to ensure that full-day kindergarten would propagate throughout the state, which had a lot of Republicans sitting and you know, not clapping their hands while the Democrats stood up to cheer.
So Democratic cheers, Sam, on full-day kindergarten and adequacy. What did the Republicans seem to be cheering about?
I'm sorry, Laura, I'm having kind of a hard time.
That's okay. I think it's pretty active down there at the State House. We'll check back in with you later, Sam. No problem. Again, that's NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown at the State House. Back to you, Dean. You know, Sam's right. There was a lot about education in here. K through 12, fund adequacy, fully fund full day kindergarten, make that a reality statewide. That's not always been a given here in New Hampshire.
That's right. And, you know, there was this undercurrent in the speech in a few areas where she kind of prodded the Republican state legislature by saying these are important and you need to fully fund them. She talked about education, but even with the opioid crisis, we know the legislature is in the process of considering funding for a number of programs, drug courts and other types of money for enforcement and education. I should also mention that it sounded like there was a big applause among Democrats for a minimum wage proposal. We've had proposals pretty much every year to replace the federal minimum wage of $7.25 with some higher number. They have not succeeded, probably won't, as long as we have a Republican state legislature. But that's something she pointed to as well.
Well, and Dean, you and I were both struck by how much time the governor did spend on the heroin / opioid crisis. Let's hear a little bit of what the governor said about that.
Combating the scourge of addiction requires us at times to change the way we have always done things at a quicker pace than is sometimes comfortable. And it also requires additional resources and dollars. While some may say that we can't afford to take steps that require additional funding, I believe that we can't afford not to.
So Governor Hassan again talking about we may need to step out of our comfort zone, and also adding in there, Dean Spiliotis, we have to approve Medicaid expansion right now.
Yeah, and for the opioid crisis in particular, we had the special session in the fall that led to the fast tracking of a variety of bills, and there has been some suggestion by particularly Republicans in the House that they need to be careful to make sure that the money is there to fund some of these opioid programs. I think the Senate has approved a number today, but that now still has to go to the House. It is interesting. The other big issue that we had a special session session for a year ago, was Medicaid expansion. So we've had these sort of two big issues for her, the Medicaid expansion, which has been a little more controversial than the opioid crisis. And that's something that they need to focus on, because the expansion for this 46,000 people that she mentioned, that will sunset at the end of this year if they don't come up with some sort of compromise. And there are various possibilities under discussion right now.
Well, and we did a whole program on that, on the exchange the other day, talking about the different possibilities for funding this. I was struck, Dean, by just the way that the governor laid out the drug overdoses, saying drug overdoses are now the second most common cause of death in New Hampshire today. More Granite Staters are killed by overdoses than by diabetes, breast cancer, or motor vehicle accidents. No. So this is a big issue.
It's a big issue. We're seeing it tie into the presidential contest. I've heard a number of candidates, not only while they're in state, but when they're in other parts of the country as well, reference the crisis in places like New Hampshire. So it's gotten a tremendous amount of attention, both locally and nationally.
There was another applause line in there that probably got applause from both parties, although I'm not 100% sure about that, Dean. A call to raise the cap on what's known as net metering. And Governor Hassan addressed a whole bunch of energy issues that have come up a lot in the state when it comes to economic development.
Yeah, the underlying issue for alternative energy has been the various obstacles that are sometimes either intentionally or unintentionally there in terms of licensing and regulating, et cetera. The issue with the net metering is the solar industry is finally gaining steam in the state. But the concern is that if consumers can't sell excess capacity back to the power providers, it's less economically viable. So the concern is there you'll be in some way shutting down the industry just as it's getting going.
All right. Well, let's return to the State House, Dean, because Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley is waiting with us. And Senator Bradley, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Laura. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for being with us, Senator Bradley. We know it's a busy day. Your overall reaction, please, to this State of the State address, what you agreed with, what you disagreed with.
Well, I thought it was, somewhat predictable. I mean, obviously, it was her last State of the State address, so political overtones, that she's hoping to springboard, if you will, into a U.S. Senate campaign. So obviously talked about a lot of things that have happened over the last couple of years. I mean, we did put together great budgets, but let's remember she spoke against both of them, vetoed one of them. Thankfully, we did come together after a huge amount of work in the legislature on passing heroin and opioid-related legislation. And I think, the verdict's out on what's going to happen on Medicaid expansion, but certainly that's something that myself, Senator Morse, and a lot of others are advocating for. And we've built it a New Hampshire way. We've built in work requirements on it. We've gotten funding on a voluntary basis from hospitals and insurers to pay for the state share. So, I think, the legislature has done its job in responding to the problems that we face, in particular the drug and heroin crisis.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say, Senator Bradley, that there was a lot in this speech that you heard as a springboard to her U.S. Senate campaign, the balanced budgets she talked about, the work on opioids. What other springboards, to use your word, did you hear in that speech?
Well, let me talk about some of the things I didn't hear, too. I didn't hear an awful lot of discussion about what makes business go in New Hampshire. And the four things that I've always talked about: high electric rates, high workers' compensation costs, high business taxes, and high health care costs. So there wasn't a lot of talk about that. There was a lot of talk about different initiatives, and we'll see how she proposes to pay for some of these things. I think we still have to be pretty cautious. We just passed, a budget. Now we're reopening it with things like drug courts, which needs to happen. But we're doing our job, I think, in the legislature to deal with the problems that we have. But at the same time, we're first in the nation right now, so we're electing a president. And clearly there's a U.S. Senate campaign that's on its way. And so, the lens of you know, the scrutiny is on everything, obviously, Senator Ayotte says and does, and everything that Governor Hassan says and does.
So you wanted to hear more, Senator Bradley, about some of the challenges facing businesses: high electric rates, high health care costs, high workers' compensation costs, and high business taxes. Didn't the legislature and the governor last time around come together on those business taxes? A big point of contention, but I thought that in the end, lower business taxes
Well, it was a big point of contention,
signed.
And the budget was vetoed over that.
That's right.
I mean, you're right. It was a big point of contention. The budget was vetoed over it. And I think, you know, the fact of the matter is we felt as legislators that the business taxes, which, you know, made New Hampshire a sore thumb, along with high electric rates and health care costs and workers' comp costs, had to be addressed. And I think finally the Governor Hassan saw it our way and yielded and basically allowed her Democratic colleagues, our Democratic colleagues, to vote to override her budget with nominal changes to it. So I'm not sure that that's a very good springboard for her, but, you know, it's interesting to hear her talking now about business tax relief. It was really some of us on the other side of the aisle that made it happen.
Two other issues I'd love to ask you about, Senator Bradley, and then I'll let you go. One was a pretty big applause line there for raising the cap on net metering. Were you among those applauding?
Yes, I was. I mean, it's my bill, Senate Bill 333. So I'm happy that, you know, just before we came in to hear the governor's address, we passed it in the Senate. So that's the good news. The bad news is that, you know, there are some people that want basically to stop the subsidies that go on. And then there are others on the other side of the issue that want the subsidies to be unlimited. So we were fortunate to be able to strike the right balance in the Senate, which we did last year. And unfortunately, you know, the arguments exploded with our friends in the House, and it just became impossible to pass a bill. I hope that doesn't happen again this year because, you know, we do have the highest electric rates in the nation. There is a subsidy. It's a big subsidy. In PSNH's service territory alone, it's $3 to $4 million. And you think, oh, that's not that much, but it's 0.5%. And if you don't have, you know, reasonable mechanism in place to prevent that subsidy from just exploding, our high electric rates are going to be higher and higher. So,
and you mentioned that, yeah, as a concern.
Hopefully the balance that, you know, Senate Bill 333 has been achieved will not be upset by people who want to end the program and people who want unlimited subsidies. And that's what we're fighting. And as I said on the Senate floor, no good deed goes unpunished. And, you know, so for people like me that are trying to thread the needle, it's been a pretty arduous task.
One last question for you, Senator Bradley, please. There was some applause we heard on Governor Hassan calling for commuter rail. As you know, businesses in southern New Hampshire anyway would like to see this. How do you think Senate and House Republicans are going to receive that call?
You know, I would think that if we did a step-by-step approach and tried to find a way to not use highway fund dollars but bring commuter rail to Nashua, that there would be more support for it. But when we talk about, you know, commuter rail going further up into the state, I think it's premature, especially when we're trying to make sure that the highway fund has enough dollars in it to finish the construction of 93 and all of the other projects that I think far more people depend on. We actually have a pretty good bus system, you know, from Dover and Portsmouth into Massachusetts and also from Concord down 93. I think commuter rail is something we could support, but it needs to be done on a step-by-step basis, and it needs to be affordable. And that's been the problem in the past.
All right. Well, Senator Bradley, thank you so much for being with us.
As always, Laura, thank you.
That's Republican State Senator and Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley commenting on Governor Hassan's State of the State address. Dean, other thoughts from you based on what we heard from Senator Bradley about what may happen in the next, well, I guess we've got 4 months left of the legislative session before this whole political season for Governor Hassan and Kelly Ayotte steps up.
Right. She's going to be very busy. It was very interesting listening to him and getting the Republican perspective on this. You know, throughout her time as governor, there have been a number of occasions where, you know, Republicans have Republicans say they have, you know, set things up for the governor to succeed and claim bipartisanship, when in reality it was, you know, either their budget or their bill initially that kind of framed the debate. So Senator Bradley there clearly reminding people of the Republicans' role in the state legislature. It is true that a number of the issues that she mentioned that we've talked about, like the minimum wage, a lot of the job workforce and jobs programs and education have sort of costs associated with them. And Republicans have been clear that they want to take a close look at those costs. You know, I think given how quickly the next several months are going to go, I think there's going to be a lot of focus on wrapping up the opioid crisis legislation and then figuring out how to nail down that Medicaid expansion. And then if she can get to some of these other initiatives that she talked about, I think that would, for her, that would be sort of icing on the cake. But she's going to need to pivot after the primary to focusing on that Senate run.
Well, and just remind us how it goes, Dean. There was some grumbling among the press corps that this State of the State address came in the middle of the presidential primary season. And Governor Hassan herself acknowledged that at least twice in the speech. Here we are with all the eyes of the nation on us. So the primary's over on Tuesday.
That's right.
Then the legislature wraps up with these political overtones we've been talking about. Yeah. Then everybody kind of takes a break for the summer, and then.
And then you move on to the, you know, there will, for any of the statewide races where there are primaries, those primaries would be in September. And then we have the general election in November.
And some of the themes in that general election we heard ticked off today, Dean.
Absolutely.
Just to remind us.
Democratic notions of how to boost the economy, terrorism and ISIS, and minimum wage, all going to be important issues.
Okay. And we will talk more about the state of the state tomorrow, Dean, on The Exchange, also wrapping up the presidential primary on our weekly news roundup. Thank you for being with us now, Dean. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Laura.